Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and from the Holy Spirit too. Amen. Happy Father's Day. Well, every celebration of Holy Baptism and Holy Communion, and just really every gathering among God's people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is a Trinitarian event. It is the power of the Holy Spirit in which the church gathers on Sunday, the day of the Son's resurrection, Christ's resurrection, to give thanks to the Father for the salvation through the Son, which He shares to us through word and sacrament. And in our life's journey, in this pilgrimage that we have on earth, from holy baptism to eternal life, in the new heavens and the new earth, we are accompanied by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who together are the one and only living God, a majestic God. Traditionally, on Holy Trinity Sunday, we confess the Athanasian Creed, and you're going to get to do that in a couple minutes. We confess one thing: the Godhead of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. And as we read earlier, Psalm 8, King David describes the majesty of our triune God. He says, "O Lord, our Lord, Yahweh Adonai, how majestic is your name in all the earth." So when he says Yahweh, it means the name that God declared of himself to Moses at the burning bush, Yahweh Adonai, the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord which he puts on us in holy baptism. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And he closes the psalm the same way. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Well, Martin Luther, when he describes the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, describes it this way: "These are the three persons and one God who has given himself to us all wholly and completely with all that he is and has. The Father gives himself to us with heaven and earth and all creatures in order that they may serve us and benefit us." Well, you see that in Psalm 2. We'll talk about it. "But this gift has become obscured and useless through Adam's fall. Therefore, the Son himself has subsequently given himself and bestowed all his works, sufferings, wisdom that we heard about in the Proverbs, as Supe read earlier. Wisdom and righteousness, and reconciled us to the Father in order that, restored to life and righteousness," that's the whole point, life and righteousness, "we might also know and have the Father and his gifts. But because this grace would benefit no one and could not come to it," you didn't know about it, "the Holy Spirit comes and gives himself to us wholly and completely." So the Father comes and gives himself wholly and completely, the Son gives himself wholly and completely, and the Holy Spirit gives himself wholly and completely to you. Then Luther writes in the Large Catechism, "For here we see how the Father has given us himself with all creation and has abundantly provided for us in this life, apart from the fact that he has showered us with inexpressible eternal blessings through the Son and the Holy Spirit." So what does this mean? What does this mean? The Father who created us brought about his salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ, who he sent into the world to die and rise again for us. And the Holy Spirit delivers this salvation to us through the gospel, the forgiveness of sins, through the sacraments of holy baptism, where he takes God's name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and places it upon you, on your head and in your hearts. triune God's majesty and glory are found throughout God's created order. David marvels about it. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Sometimes we think about God's created order and we think, you know, there's this picture of God as like, oh, he's this great creator, like a fine watchmaker, a Swiss watchmaker. And he makes this intricately conceived creation. And he's got this, we've got this cycle of the water cycle. You know, and how it rains and goes back into the ocean and then it evaporates and comes, and it's this beautiful cycle. And then there's the cycle of oxygen and carbon dioxide, which flows through human beings and plants and animals. We couldn't exist without it. And then we're just at the right distance from the sun. And by the way, we have just the right atmosphere. And we have just the right amount of gravity so that we can have an atmosphere. And it doesn't, and but not too much, so it doesn't crush us. And we have a radiation belt, the Van Allen radiation belt around us that keeps us, protects us from the harmful rays of the sun. It's all perfectly balanced. It's like a fine little intricate Swiss watch. But God did not create this intricate world and set it to the right time and then just walk away. Just leave it running on its own. No. When mankind, the crown of God's creation, a little lower than heavenly beings, crowned with glory and honor, to whom you've given dominion over the work of your hands and put all things under his feet. When Adam and Eve fell, when they messed it up by wanting to be more like God and knowing good and evil, well, they found out evil. They messed it up. And when you and I want things our way too, when we mess it up, we mess up this creation daily by wanting things our way instead of God's way, not listening to him. It's like overwinding your watch or underwinding it, whatever. However you can ruin a watch, well, we've done it. This whole creation. We've messed it up. And we mess up our own lives. And we mess up each other's lives. Well, did God leave it alone? No. He didn't abandon it. He didn't abandon us. He doesn't abandon you. The Lord, our Lord, in his majesty and his glory, could have given up on us all, but he didn't. He didn't give up on his creation. He didn't say, well, the heavens, the work of my fingers, the moon and the stars, well, I'll just go play with them. They're cool. I like them. No. He is mindful of mankind. He is mindful of you and me. He knows us. When I knit you together in your mother's womb, I knew you. You. He hasn't forgotten you. And he is so mindful of you that in his glory and in his majestic being, in his majesty, he displays how mindful he is in the incarnation of his Son. One person of the Trinity who comes in human form out of the mouth of babies and infants, I've established strength. A simple baby born in Bethlehem. Jesus, the Christ. This is his most majestic work. This is his most glorious work. through the incarnation of that little child, He makes you His beloved children. And He puts His name upon you in holy baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Yahweh, Adonai, the living God, puts His name on you and claims you for His own, that you may be His own and live with Him in everlasting justice and righteousness and the love that He has for you, because He has not forgotten you. He comes and He delivers that salvation to you again in Holy Communion, where you taste not death that Jesus is arguing with those Jews who didn't believe in Him about. They say, "You, no one's ever going to taste death if they believe in You?" And Jesus says, "Yes! That's the point. That's why I'm here. That you may not taste death, but that you may taste life. Because that's what He came to bring you. Life. Through the forgiveness of your sins. That's what He takes upon Himself. That is His most glorious and majestic work, which He does for you." The writer to the Hebrews takes a look at Psalm 8, verse 5. And he interprets it this way. He says, "As it is, we do not see everything put under Him. We live in a world that's messed up and we don't see everything put under our Lord Jesus' feet yet. But we see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels. Now He's crowned with glory and honor because He suffered death in order so that by God's love He would taste death for everyone." He tasted death for us so that we don't live and die an eternal death, but so that we may live an eternal life, which begins in holy baptism and is carried through this life, this earthly life that we suffer through, yes, to an eternal life in the new heavens and the new earth, so that we can see the sun and the moon and the stars the way that He created them to be, and that we can be the human beings that He created us to be, not the ones that have messed up our lives and each other's. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't even know what it's like to be human left. Yet, we're going to see what it's going to be human beings in Jesus in our future life. In the life that He gives us through holy baptism, we begin to see some of it. When we go to Holy Communion, we receive a taste of the future life that we have to come. You may say, "Well, I don't like the wafer and I don't like the wine." Well, okay, get over it. You got a great life to come. You got a great food and wine to come in the new heavens and the new earth. That's what He's prepared for you. But it's way more than that. It's way more than earthly pleasures. It's about living as a human being is designed to be. Living in love. Love for God, which flows out of you. Living in love for your brothers and sisters. Those who know Christ and those who don't. Because that you're so filled with love that you can't help it. That's what it is to be a human being. That's what we get a taste from in this Christian life from now until the last day. So we rejoice in what God has done for us. So King David does that in this psalm. He sings praises to God. Our Lord is Lord. He is our ruler. He is a king above all kings. He has established a kingdom and he has founded it in the faith of little people like us, babies and infants who simply trust in his word. And we trust his word, not blindly and ignorantly, but we simply take him at his word. We listen to him straightforwardly and say, you tell it like it is, Lord, and I believe it. With all the rationality and intelligence that you've gifted me with or not, I believe it. A couple centuries ago, there was a young man by the name of Matthew Maury. And young Matthew was a brilliant young man and believed in the Lord. And he was reading the Bible. He comes across Psalm 8. And he's amazed by, you know, he's just like King David. Yeah, the works of creation, this is pretty awesome, Lord. And you put me in dominion over that. You put mankind in dominion over that. And then he reads this passage. You, God, have given him, mankind, dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, also the beast of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever that passes along the paths of the seas. The paths of the seas. God has given mankind dominion over the paths of the seas. I didn't know there were paths in the seas. And young Matthew Maury says, well, if the Lord says there are paths in the seas, I believe there's paths in the seas. And you know what? I'm going to go find them. And you know what he did? He went and found them. So Matthew Maury became the father of the science of oceanography. And he discovered the paths in the seas, the currents and the way everything works in the oceans. He's the one who discovered all that because he was inspired from Psalm 8. He found them. And he's considered by some to be a great scientist, but he gave all glory to our majestic Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we're called to many things. Maybe you're not called to be the father of oceanography. Sorry, that's taken. But we're called to God's kingdom. We enter it by holy baptism. We're called to it daily by his word of the gospel. And like Matthew Maury and like King David, we also hope to come to see the heavens, the works of God's fingers, the moon and the stars, which he will prepare for us. You see, he won a great kingdom for us with great trouble and great anguish on the cross. And now our Lord is crowned with glory and honor and has everything under his feet. For this we give our triune God our praise and our thanks, especially for the fact that he has brought us to light and knowledge that does not spring up out of human reason, but of Christ. He is our Son who died for us and was raised from the dead, who lives and reigns so that through him we might be saved. To this end, God help us all. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.